Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Are you there?
I'm Chris, I'm the believer.
I'm Cody, I'm the skeptic. Okay, stories. Let's get into it.
Hello! Welcome to BSB Believer Skeptic Podcast.
The podcast where two idiots debate weird phenomena.
I'm Chris, I'm the believer.
I'm Cody, I'm the skeptic.
And if this is your first time listening to us, we're an LGBTQ paranormal comedy podcast and proud members of the Podmoth Network. And this is a full episode.
Yay! And I'm curious to see, I think people will probably guess what this is.
Yeah. This is going to be a cool topic. I'm very excited.
Yeah.
This is our 99th episode.
Yay, 99!
And we're thinking of summer. We're thinking of vacations. Like, when I think of vacation, I think of beaches and sun and stuff. So that was my thought with this. And then Cody said, well, let's narrow it a little further. And this is how we came upon our topic.
Yeah. So we are... We always look at each other like, who wants to say it?
Yeah.
We're talking about Hawaiian folklore hauntings, just paranormal occurrences in Hawaii that we thought are interesting that we wanted to share.
And with that, too, it is Pride Month and the rainbow is of huge significance in Hawaiian culture.
Absolutely.
Actually, here it says, in Hawaiian mythology, the rainbow is a symbol of transformation and a pathway between earth and heaven.
Yeah. So this is really like a... beachy / Pride Month combination.
Yeah.
Oh. And I said that as if I already knew that before you just said that.
No, you didn't.
No idea.
And that was going to be a surprise, which it was.
That's totally a surprise. I love it. I think that's great.
Yeah. So with that, should we get into drinks?
Yeah.
I already know what you're drinking. You didn't hide it, so...
I keep going first because mine suck lately.
No, yours actually goes.
It's actually really good.
It goes with the theme, so.
Yeah, so I have a golden ale, but it's called Big Wave, and it has a giant wave, and it looks like, you know, at least Polynesian people probably who are paddling. So I think it's like the perfect Hawaiian beer. I actually think it is a Hawaiian beer.
Does it come from Hawaii as well?
It's going to be like brewed in Flagstaff or something. I'm going to be like, let's see. I really want to know, but I don't see it. It just says Kona Brewing.
And Kona's an island in Hawaii.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I think it really may be a Hawaiian thing.
Yeah.
And the art, the little label says a bunch of crap here about being the best. Catch the crest of a breaking wave and ride it all the way in. That's what she said. Your turn, go.
Mine is fairly simple. I made a mango lemonade. So all it is mango juice, fresh lemon juice, and soda water. And then you can put sugar in it, but I didn't put any. So it's a little bitter, but it's good.
That sounds really, really good. Mm-hmm. He just missed his mouth.
Yeah.
I am going to go look. Because I got a different similar beer maybe just 2 or 3 episodes ago.
That is the same.
And now that I'm looking, I think it might be the same. Because I think I justified it by saying people in a boat. And we did something about boats.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. So I'm going to go look. And if it's the same one,
oh, wow.
That's okay. Well, so do you want to get into history? Yeah, and I'm trying to think of what angle you're going to come at for this, so I'm curious.
It'll be, I mean, it's obvious, going to be obvious when I talk about it, but...
Once you hear what I
talk
about,
what
you'll
know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Well, since today we're covering Hawaiian folklore, I thought I would talk about the religious history and mythology of Hawaii.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good, because I talk a little bit about that in my first story, yeah, and so I'm it'll talking be about, nice to have a background.
Because now it's very... Christianized and Catholic, but I'm talking about like ancient religion there.
Then I'm betting that there's a lot of mix, kind of like voodoo, you know, where you have the mixture of Catholicism and local religion.
Yeah. Ancient Hawaii religion, as you might have guessed, comes from the beliefs and practices of the indigenous natives of Hawaii. Indigenous natives practice polytheism and animism. In other words, they believed in many gods, as well as that all things had a spirit, including animals, plants, people, and water, and so on.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Forgot about that.
It is said that Hawaiians worship up to somewhere around 40,000 gods and spirits.
How do you keep all that straight?
So they basically had a god for everything, you know?
Everything.
Yeah.
Wow. This is your god of your left nostril and the god of your right nostril?
Hawaiian mythology and religion often tell stories about life and nature being inspired by Polynesian traditions, with some stories that are similar to stories found in Tahiti, Samoa, Fiji, New Zealand, and other islands. Between 1100 and 1200 AD, many of the religious beliefs were brought to Hawaii by a Tahitian Samoan called Pa'au, who had conquered Hawaii. Hawaii's religion developed for centuries until, guess who? Colonizers came in the 1800s.
Just the way you say the word. It's
and roll
clear.
My eyes. Yeah. Despite that, many ancient rituals and practices are still followed by locals. Even though there are many numerous gods, there are four main gods that are worshipped in Hawaii. First is Kane, not to be confused with Kanye.
Of course, I'm sure he would appreciate being worshipped.
Who is the god of creation and sky, as well as the god of all other gods and goddesses.
Oh, it's like this is like lead god. Yeah. This is kind of Zeus.
Yeah. The second is Kanaloa, the god of the ocean and the underworld, who was created by Kane as a sort of inverse version of himself, being that Kane represented life and light, while Kanaloa represents death and darkness.
Okay.
The third god is Lono, the god of agriculture, fertility, and peace. Lono was also created by Kane to take care of the land and ensure its fertility by bringing forth the wind, rain, and sun. Being that he is a god of peace, he rules over 4 months of the year, during which time war is forbidden, and instead feasts, dance, and games occur in the god's honor.
Oh, they said feces.
Feasts.
Feasts. I was like, that is a weird celebration. Take that!
The fourth god is Ku, who is created by Kanaloa and then married off to his daughter Hina, the goddess of love, peace, and renewal of life. Ku is the god of war and was known to be a very fierce god. Ku is the only god that human sacrifices were gifted to.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
I'm thinking like Ku's on first and like a whole god stupid joke.
As Lono rules over 4 months of the year, Ka rules over the other eight. In those 8 months, it was a time for war, especially as it relates to rulers attacking each other in hopes of stealing land.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, but then you have your fights, you're going for land, but then during the 4 months, you're like, okay, now it's we got to stop and we got to be peaceful. Mm-hmm. That's so interesting.
Yeah, I found that fascinating too. Yeah. In Hawaiian religion, there are people known as kahuna, which were holy men that were educated healers and scholars that have a large role in all aspects of ancient Hawaiian life. In ancient times, Hawaiians followed what was called the kapu system, which was a very strict set of laws and practices that regulated what Hawaiians could and couldn't do. Although the kapu system was more prohibitive in that the system was mostly about the things that you couldn't do, you know? Mm. This made sense, being that the word kapu comes from the word forbidden or taboo.
Oh, okay.
Or
wow.
Taboo. Yeah. That being said, there were
typical of religion.
Yeah.
Telling you all the things that you're not allowed to do.
Exactly. That being said, there were numerous things that were forbidden under the kapu system. And if any person was caught breaking any of these laws, punishment was often, but not always, death.
Death, of course.
In Hawaiian religion, a major component is that of mana, which is a spiritual life force, energy, or healing power that encompasses the whole universe. This spiritual life force is something that anyone and anything is capable of having. To have mana is to imply influence, authority, and efficacy, which is not limited to individuals, but also things as governments, places, and inanimate objects.
Wow.
The Hawaiians believe that this spiritual force is both in us and outside of us and can be gained or lost by certain actions. These actions can lead individuals to gain mana via one of two paths, sex or violence. You see, mana that is obtained sexually as is obtained from the god Lono, and that which is obtained through violence is obtained from the god Ku. Religion and mythology in Hawaii is vast, and I have only touched upon a small part of it. It's absolutely fascinating. I urge you to read more on it. And there you have a little bit, a tiny bit, mythology and ancient religion in Hawaii.
Wow. So you get injected with mana if you choose to go the sex route.
It's not by sex. It's just that's how you receive. It's weird.
But, that is exactly
yeah, how you receive. But like mana, have you ever seen The Craft?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, they talk about that.
Is it that's M-A-N-A?
Yeah.
Like mana, like yeah, that you normally see.
Yeah, but that's not how you say it.
Wait, so that's like the origin of mana?
Is from Hawaii, yeah.
What?
It's not, it's...
That's like the centerpiece of video games and all kinds of shit.
It's not just for Wicca. It is a Hawaiian...
Wow. Fiction. Oh, I did not know that. Oh, well, that's super cool.
Yeah.
Ooh, so we're moving on to our stories?
Correct.
Yay, okay. So my first one is going to be... It'll have some like lore of like the gods and stuff. What's interesting is my article references Pele... Like, she is everything. And so I was like, oh, yeah, well, Chris will definitely talk about her, so I don't have to.
Who says I'm not?
Are you later?
Maybe.
Oh, interesting. Okay, then I'm not going to, but it's because I didn't do research on her.
Oh.
So I have to be lazy. So I am going to be talking first about a story that I call The Pig God and the Pali Highway, P-A-L-I. Pali Highway is calling.
That's Bali High.
Close enough. Yeah,
that's a whole different area.
For you. That's... So to start the story off, yeah, we have to go into some lore. So I'm going to be talking about Kamapuaa, the pig god.
Yeah.
So Kamapuaa was a demigod. And it had been said that Kamapuaa, which is fun to say, was brazen and defiant of authority. He was an untamed man who had a thirst for all the good things life had to offer, especially adventure, love, and sex. Mm-hmm. He did not shy away from his pig-like nature and may in fact be representative of the animalistic nature in all humans that typically lies dormant. Mm-hmm. He is actually the reason people in the gay community are called nasty pigs. I just made that sentence
up. I was like, that's bullshit. That is not.
But it could be. Now, his story, like many others in Hawaiian legends, involves Pele, the goddess of fire, whom he pursued romantically and with whom he had a very volatile relationship. And I found accounts of, so there's different accounts of the story, mm-hmm. and there were some where he's like a real asshole, some where they have a relationship, but then I found a couple that said like he physically forced her to be his friend. And I'm like, wait.
So he is a stalker?
What? I don't know.
Or
because
did he sexually assault her?
Even that's when I was like, it was like,
be my friend. Be my friend. Be my friend.
Be my friend. It's like, so I don't know exactly what the relationship was, but they had some kind of relationship. It was obviously volatile. Some say they were romantic. Others say they may have been enemies or became enemies.
It's very unclear.
Yeah, it's unclear. One story details how Kamapuaa tried to impress Pele and her sisters by looking like a handsome man, because he could change his appearance.
Because he was a pig?
Because he was a pig. Pele was not impressed, and she insulted him and called him a pig. A fight between the two ensued, with Pele throwing fire at Kamapuaa, but he struck back, and he ultimately wins. As a result, and this is where it plays into the story, the demigod divided the districts of the big island and leaves Pele to live on the areas overrun with lava, including Kona and Kau. Kau. Mm-hmm. He takes the windward areas with the most rain. So kind of divided the island up. This is your section. This is my section. And that brings
stay in your lane, bitch.
I'm imagine like the old Brady Bunch where they draw the line and it's like, this is your side of the room, yeah. Michael. Or that's not a Brady.
No, it's Peter. Not.
And that brings us to the Pali Highway. Hawaii has plenty of paranormal activity.
Absolutely.
Though, so much. Though nowhere is there a higher concentration of varied stuffs along Oahu's beautiful and haunted Pali Highway. From ancient Hawaiian legends to major battle sites, the highway meanders through the Ko'olau Mountains between Honolulu and the Windward Coast, is one of the most ghastly places in all of Hawaii. Most importantly to this story, mm-hmm. this highway supposedly crosses between Kamapuaa's and Pele's realms.
Oh.
So what
is so there is a divider line.
Yeah, and it's now. This highway now. Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know if it was deliberate or not, but here's what that means. It's a well-known Hawaiian legend that you are forbidden from carrying pork over the Pali Highway, especially at night. That's because the pig god Kamapuaa lives on the windward side, and his ex-girlfriend, volcano goddess Pele, lives on the leeward side. Because of their dispute, they agree not to bother each other. Taking pork from one side to the other side, like across the island, would symbolically break that agreement.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and so I was like, so pork, like what the hell does that mean? Why pork? But then I'm like, oh, I'm the biggest idiot.
He's a pig.
Pork is from a pig. Yeah. And I didn't realize that forever. And I was trying to be like, why is pork so significant?
Oh my God, you nerd.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, now I kind of get it. So what happens if you do take pork on this?
So I mean, does that mean you can't bring fire to the other side?
Oh, that's interesting. There was nothing mentioned about fire. Mm. Like you get a lighter and it just goes poof and explodes. Because some drivers have claimed that their cars will mysteriously stall out on the highway. But if you throw out all your pork, it'll start up. And you can drive off again.
That's hilarious.
Right? I'm like, oh. Some say that if you try to bring pork, your car will stop at just some point, and an old woman with a dog will appear.
Ew.
To continue on your way, you must feed the pork to the dog, and then you can move on. But that kind of sounds like the best scam ever, because I want to like show up on this and be like dressed as an old woman and be like, give me pad thai, or you'll be hunted forever. Now, here is an actual story from a real news reporter and his experience on the highway carrying pork.
Okay.
And this is what he says. In early November 2007, local news reporter Walter Makaula said he wanted to bust this legend.
Mm-hmm.
He and a tour guide named Kapa Nui stopped by a 7-Eleven to pick up Manapua and pork hash.
Oh, pork buns. I love the pork
buns. I'm like, I want to go to their 7-Eleven.
Manapua. Oh, I love pork
and
buns.
Our 7-Elevens have those 17-year-old hot dogs, and theirs has like pork buns. So they took their new purchases to the Pali lookout at night. Kapa Nui handed Makuala the food and instructed him to walk down the path with a dim sum. And he said, it's your news report. Go do it. Because I think that Makuala was trying to get the tour guide to do it. Now, while carrying the pork items, Makuala also got chicken skin. So he has them both, and he stopped at the invisible line from the windward to the leeward side.
Wait.
Okay.
Do you literally mean chicken skin?
Yep.
Are you sure?
Why? Wait, why?
Only because in a lot of stuff that I was reading today, like how we say goose skin or goose pimples. They say chicken skin.
You're so right.
I
misread the story. I thought he got chicken skin and he got pork and he put them down as a test.
He got
chicken pimples. Skin. Yeah, he totally did.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to tell you what I thought happened then. So basically at that point, Kapa Nui yelled at him to put the food on the ground. As soon as he dropped the items, their flashlights died.
Mm-hmm.
A few seconds later, they came to life. As they walked back to their car, Makaula turned around and shined his light on the food, and the pork was gone.
Wow.
And he said there was no way I was going back for a closer look to see if he could find it. He's like, hell no. This story actually aired on KHNL on November 7th of 2007. So it's not just like an urban legend. This was like a real thing.
Encounter, yeah.
Yeah, and after that, Kapa Nui, the tour guide, said that he returned to the place to offer an apology. And he said, because there was something very real about that pork over the Pali.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So I really thought he did a test, and I read it as he left chicken and he left pork.
No.
And when he turned back, the chicken was still there, but the pork was gone.
And I only knew that because when I was researching today about like paranormal stuff in Hawaii, a lot of them said like they get chicken skin, you know? So I guess that's a term that they use there.
The little bumpy bumps, like when you have the road with the little bumps.
Yeah.
Ah, the world makes sense. And now it's your turn.
Well, for my first story, I'm going to cover something that I've been wanting to talk about for a very long time, actually.
Prostate massagers.
No.
Oh.
The Night Marchers, also known as the Night Warriors, or in the native language, Huakaipo.
This is something you've wanted to do for a while. You've mentioned several times.
Yeah, and I'll say this now, Cody's much better at pronouncing Hawaiian, but...
Oh my God, I've got my language.
After 4 years, all the other languages that I learned, I guess, you know.
I think maybe in a past life, I was Hawaiian or Polynesian because these are ones where I'm like, oh, I can say this.
Yeah.
Just sound them out.
Well, this is a pretty infamous legend across the Hawaiian Islands. According to legend, the Night Marchers are the spirits of ancient Hawaiian warriors that have been cursed to march the islands for eternity. In their eternal marching, it is said that they will visit old battlefields and religious sites. There is belief that the Night Marchers are restless souls who want to reclaim lost land or reenact an unfavorable battle or avenge their death. Others believe that the Night Marchers might just be searching for an entrance into the next world. Believers claim that the Night Marchers march in a single line while carrying torches and weapons while chanting and playing drums.
Wow. Oh, so they're single file. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Interesting.
If you hear the Night Marchers approaching, you should run indoors as fast as you possibly can.
Yeah.
If that is not an option or is not possible, you should lie absolutely still on the ground face down out of respect for the warriors. The Night Warriors demand respect, which if you do not provide that or believe in them, this can lead to one's death. Any noise or sudden movements could attract the Night Marchers to you. You must also be careful not to make eye contact with any of the Night Marchers, because if you do, you will die and become one of them, joining their
you
ranks.
You join them?
Yep.
I wonder how long the line is now.
Yeah, for real. That being said, the Night Marchers are said to be set on their destination and will not approach people, of course, unless you make eye contact. As the Night Marchers approach, you will feel the earth move, hear chanting of warrior voices, the sound of pounding feet, as well as smell something foul that is said to epitomize the smell of war and death.
Wow.
It is believed that the Night Marchers make an appearance during periods of heavy wind, rain, and high surf, and when they appear, they are surrounded by fog or mist. As they appear, they are said to float just slightly above the ground, and in some cases, they have been said to leave giant footprints behind after passing by.
That's kind of conflicting.
Yeah.
Which is it? Make up your mind, marchers.
Some say that once they are marching, that no matter if you put something in their way, they cannot be stopped. In some cases, they have been known to walk right through homes, which leaves behind a fear that can only be lifted through the ritual cleansing and blessing.
Wow.
Additionally, they can appear on certain nights in accordance with lunar activity. In one article I read, it said at the time it was written, the Night Marchers made their appearance in the last four Hawaiian moon phases, just before the moon went completely dark. It is said that the Night Marchers were first documented from some recovered archives from 1883. Those documents describe the Night Marchers as being a mighty phantom army led by the spirit of King Kamehameha. Yeah.
Kamehameha.
Yeah. Aside from the drums, people have claimed to also hear the rhythmic chanting, as I said before, and horns blowing, indicating the Night Marchers are near. According to a Hawaiian storyteller, he says that, quote, "The Night Marchers' job wasn't to terrorize people. It was simply to protect the most sacred high-ranking chiefs. The Night Marchers showed mercy by traveling at night to spare people from harm." I think that's kind of cool.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So with a name such as Night Marchers, you would assume they only appear at night, right?
Well, I was about to say yes, but now I'm not so sure.
Well, tribal elders have said that these entities can appear during the day, but only when they have to come to accompany a family member across the Rainbow Bridge to join the spirit world following their death.
Wow, this would be a great movie.
Yeah. As I said before, the entities have been seen all across the islands. Locals and visitors alike are warned to be cautious when traveling after dark, and especially recommend not traveling alone. If you happen to travel to the island of Oahu, you'll find the Pele Highway, which is close to Kamehameha battle site.
A lot of yours are like, ha-ha.
Has been established as a pathway of the Night Marchers.
Cool.
Yeah. Also in Oahu at Kualoa Ranch, known to hold numerous remains of Hawaiian chiefs, it is said that sightings are very common and in some cases cause nighttime car accidents. For protection, islanders will grow tea plants, T-I, I've never heard of that, around their home, which is said to deter the Night Marchers. So whether you're a believer or not of the Night Marchers, if you happen to visit Hawaii, be wary at night. You have been warned.
Wow. Okay.
It's an interesting, fascinating story.
Whenever you just said T.I. plants, I was just thinking Texas Instrument plants.
Oh, no.
That's all I could think of.
Tea plants.
Tea plants. So this is like, if I'm thinking of this from a believer skeptic aspect, mm-hmm. If there are Night Marchers, there's hundreds of soldiers all marching in single line. They're making all this noise. How is there no video or proof of this?
Yeah.
Because that sounds like it's basically a giant ghost party, yeah. You know? That's wild. So I'm going to throw out an origin story. What if you got people who were super believer in that, right?
Yeah.
You formed a band of thieves and spread the story. Mm-hmm. And then one night you walk through the village and you create the noise and act like you're them. Mm-hmm. Everyone lies down and can't look at you on their stomach. So you walk through, you just rob them and pick their pockets because they won't look at you. They might even feel you touching them and they freak out and then just go on your way. And then anytime you need money or supplies, you just become the night marchers.
Okay. Somebody's a, I don't know what you call that.
I need a heist movie with the night marchers now. So that's really cool.
Hey there, fellow true crime aficionados. We are the host of Bad Acts Podcast. I'm Danielle.
And I'm Aaron.
Join us every Thursday for twisted true crime tales, bad deeds, and the supernatural. We've covered family annihilators, cold-blooded baby daddies, cannibals, and even people who blame zombies, ghosts, and voodoo for their bad acts.
Bad acts.
If you like fresh stories and new perspectives on crime, Bad Acts will be your new jam. Stay safe out there, you big baddies, and bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
So for my next story, I'm going to be talking about a haunting, the Manao Chinese Cemetery, located on the island Oahu and sitting just a mere 3 miles west of Honolulu. Mm-hmm. So if I ever visit, I'm going to go see this. The Manao Chinese Cemetery has a distinction of being both the oldest and largest Chinese cemetery in Hawaii.
Interesting.
Yeah, so apparently Chinese cemeteries are a thing. The cemetery was built in 1852.
Well, of course they are. Where else are they going to bury their dead?
In a Hawaiian cemetery? I don't know. Is there like a...
Well, I'm sure we have you probably have a Jewish cemetery.
Oh, that's true. Okay. Yeah. I guess I figured how big is the Chinese population there? Because I figured the Japanese would be much larger, but this one actually... Anyway, we're getting into this discussion. But it stands out among other cemeteries because it's super ornate. And I saw some pictures and it's really beautiful. Mm-hmm. And that's it's accustomed to Chinese cemetery standards, such as facing the water as well as being lined by trees. Aged granite lions and dragon-like statues are peppered throughout, while a banyan tree appears to be the cemetery's centerpiece. Mm. Feng shui plays a popular role here, as the Chinese believe in the principle of geomancy, which is the art of placing or arranging buildings or sites. You know, you do it auspiciously for a purpose, and its role in placating unstable spirits. And something that's really, really cool, geomancy itself could almost be a topic.
Or sacred geometry, that's closely related.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yep. So with such a concept, obviously spirits are alive and well here. I mean, it's haunted, it's old, it's a cemetery. Duh, it's haunted. Now, one of the more one of the more peculiar wow, I don't ever say that, peculiar paranormal activities here is the presence of children. So you get your ghost children.
Gross.
Naturally, the cemetery possesses a quietness, but visitors claim to have heard the undeniable laughter of children. At other times, they've actually heard the crying sounds of infants. So it's like almost like ghost babies.
Nope.
Near such graves in the evenings, visitors have claimed to see orange orbs flurrying around over the tombstones. Mm-hmm. In many descriptions, the orange spots appear to be cinders from a fire that doesn't exist. So within Hawaiian culture, there is the belief, time to do a throwback to my minisode, that it is an akualele.
Oh, I was just going to say, the balls of fire. Maybe that's what he saw.
Yep, and that's exactly, and so it ties in to that. And some people believe that that's a flying god who brings death and bad luck to some, but then not to others.
Yeah.
Some of these might sound pretty standard, like, yeah, this is kind of standard haunting stuff you might find, except for the balls of fire.
Yeah.
But I actually found quite a few encounter stories, and that's what I thought was really interesting. So I'm going to share a couple of them. In 2008, a Honolulu police officer was dispatched in the middle of the night to a noise complaint at the cemetery involving possible trespassers. Huh. Arriving, the officer spotted a pair of what looked to be young teens hiding behind a tombstone. He approached the tombstone only to find that there was nothing there. Mm. Walking back to his patrol car, the radio suddenly turned on with the volume all the way up. Nobody was there to turn it on, and the officer switched it off only to then watch the radio turn back on, and he literally watched the dial of the volume turn all the way up before his very eyes.
That's fucking scary.
Prankster kids. Now, next I'm going to focus on a particular part of the cemetery, and it's the tree. Mm-hmm. The Manao Cemetery has a tree that's not only more than 150 years old, but is also believed to be a portal between this life and the afterlife. More spookily, and this is actually true, It has been known to just burst into flames, as shown in its charred outer bark.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, and from this one,
You said it's a banyan tree. Those things are humongous, too.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. That's true. It might be the centerpiece that I mentioned earlier. I need to find out. But I mentioned someone named Kapa Nui.
Mm-hmm.
He's the owner of the Mysteries of Hawaii Haunted Tours. Yeah. And he's got a lot of, he's apparently very, very popular. And this also actually comes from a different thing from him. So in 2001, Kapa Nui brought a group to visit the Manao Chinese Cemetery's haunted tree. He explained to them that swirling fireballs might appear according to the mood of people there. That's when Kapa Nui noticed a girl sitting alone by a tree, and he asked her if she was okay. And the girl told him that she was afraid something happened if she went inside the main huge tree that they were looking at.
Mm-hmm.
See, the night before joining the tour, her boyfriend Charlie dumped her for another girl who was standing underneath the haunted tree.
Mm.
Kapa Nui recalls her saying, "I'm afraid if I go there with everything that's in my heart, I will probably drop dead. Wow. If you don't mind, I'll sit out here."
That's insane.
Well, later, something terrible did happen.
Of course. And
at the Pali lookout that I talked about, but as a result, they say, of the spirit of this tree.
Yeah.
The story never actually made newspapers, but for some reason, it just became too much for that girl. She actually went out to the Pali lookout and jumped to her death. And that's, I remember that, that tree is a portal between here and the afterlife.
Yeah.
Well, about a year later, Charlie the asshat brought his new girl to the Pali lookout for a nighttime makeout session.
Oh, God.
Suddenly, he heard a voice calling out his name.
Of course.
Charlie. The new girlfriend asked, "Did you hear that?" And Charlie starts asking who's there as the voice continued. And mm-hmm. then the voice changed and said, "Down here, Charlie.
Nope.
Come down."
Nope.
Frightened, he ran away. He jumped in the car and he sped off, leaving his new girlfriend behind.
He noped the fuck out.
He noped the fuck out and just ditched the fuck out on her.
And
so, but this kind of has it reversed, because a few months it was later, mm-hmm. Charlie's now ex-girlfriend.
Of course. She better be.
Yes, right? Because, man, okay. And I talk about this a little bit later, but I'll just say it now. Charlie's an asshat.
Yeah.
What a shit heel. He just leaves her behind. But it was actually said that she actually went and made it back on her own, but never saw him again.
Because she's a badass woman.
She's a badass woman, exactly. And Charlie is a fuckwad.
Yeah.
Nope. So he ditches his girl, gets a new girlfriend the next day, and then nopes out on her. But that is the story of just some of the occurrences at the Manao Chinese Cemetery.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
It's totally interesting.
I want to visit that.
Yeah. I want to go to Hawaii. Never been.
Right?
Yeah.
No, it's like, now I have a reason to visit Hawaii, finally.
Yeah, that's the only reason.
That's it.
Speaking of badass women, for my next story, I decided to discuss another well-known legend of the island surrounding one of the most or more famous goddesses of Hawaii. I'm talking about the curse of Pele.
Oh, yay!
But first, a little about Pele.
Cool.
In Hawaiian religion, Pele is the goddess of fire, lightning, wind, dance, and volcanoes. She is said to reside on the Halemaumau crater, which is at the base of Kilauea volcano, which is currently still active. This volcano is believed to be inhabited by many fire gods, one who is Pele. She is said to govern Kilauea and is the one who controls lava flow. Pele is also said to be passionate, quick-tempered, moody, and jealous, so don't fuck with her.
Oh, yeah.
There are many stories of her birth, one being that she came from the female spirit Haumea, another stating that she was born in Tahiti and was sent to the Hawaiian Islands due to her temper and for seducing the husband of her sister.
Damn, she gets around.
Another legend states that Pele's older brother, Kamahuali, gave her a large canoe in which she traveled to Hawaii. Upon her arrival to Kauai, she was attacked and left for dead by her sister.
Oh, shit. She wanted revenge.
Despite that, she was able to recover and escape to Oahu, where she dug fire pits. When her sister found out Pele had survived, she traveled to Maui, where the two sisters battled.
Oh, my God. Oh, she is pissed.
Yeah. In this battle, Pele was torn apart, which led her to become a goddess. It was said that here she dug her final fire pit, which she resides at the base of the aforementioned volcano. Now, on to the legend of the curse. There's belief that anyone who removes anything that is native to Hawaii from the islands will feel the wrath of Pele in form of years of bad luck.
Is this the Brady Bunch?
I don't know if that was the same curse, but I mean, it's really the same similar idea. Yeah. According to one account, sometime in the 1980s, the Hawaii Volcanoes National Park received a package that contained lava and sand that had been taken from Black Sands Beach in 1969. A woman who had frequented the islands with her husband said after taking the objects, she had a string of bad luck. First, it was just a cut on the foot, then a scraped arm. But eventually, there were many other incidents, the last being the woman's husband had a heart attack and she fell down twice, breaking an elbow the first time and the second time breaking her kneecap in two places.
Oh my God.
Volcano House, the only hotel within the Volcanoes National Park and located near Kilauea Volcano, is said to have a number of letters from individuals who have been victim to the curse of Pele.
Oh, shut up. And you can see them?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
In one other incident, some individuals had picked up pieces of volcanic rock for souvenirs during their trip to the island. This particular trip took place in December, and when they returned to their home, there was a massive snowstorm that prevented a family get-together over Christmas. And later, another storm which prevented them from opening a business they had plans for. Wow. In addition to that, at that time, the visitor had a big falling out with his sister, which resulted in them not speaking. Then
I figured like sibling fights are probably a big part of this curse.
Because of the nature of the
that energy.
Yeah. Then those two visitors both had an unusually lengthy bout of the flu as well. After all this, they returned the volcanic rocks in hope of breaking the curse. And there's actually a website that is dedicated to such letters and returns.
Oh, shut up!
And here's another incident from the website. This is directly for the writer. They say, "We were in Hawaii about 5 years ago, and our lives have become unbearable ever since our return, starting with losing our luggage with all gifts we purchased except for the rocks, to marriage problems, to death. Our friends and family members have made comments about how we have had a black cloud over us and how they have never seen two people with such bad luck. I could go on and on about all the traumatic happenings that have occurred in our lives since our return. It has been one serious turmoil after another, but our turmoil has been so I cannot talk about most of it. I would like to turn this around and apologize to Pele for offending her. I would have returned them sooner, but I kept trying to fight the superstition naysaying it. But now that my husband has tried to commit suicide and cannot find our lives bearable anymore, I have no choice but to admit to our mistake and beg the forgiveness of Pele. My heart goes out to her and her people, but also to my husband, who is in so much pain. I throw myself at your mercy, Pele, and beg you to forgive me and my husband's foolishness. I have offended thee, and for that I cannot take back, but please accept my gift of humiliation by standing before you and my God and admitting my sin. My husband and I have suffered so and would like to offer your rocks back in hopes that you will have a merciful heart and let us out of the clutches of that evil that surrounds our life. I thank you for returning these rocks for me and hope that you can forgive us for disrespecting your sacred place. I appreciate your service and thank you for your open heart. This feels like a great big hug. Sincerely, CM, Woodbridge, Virginia."
Wow.
Fact or fiction? Coincidence or true bad luck? No one can say for sure. Just make sure when you visit, you leave such things untouched.
Wow, this feels like a big hug.
Yeah, I thought that was funny.
So I kind of have like a little thing that I want to do. Because say you go to Hawaii, right? I love that. I think that's so fascinating. Mm-hmm. But it gives me a plan to go there. And then right before I leave, take some of the volcano rocks and come back. Because then if I end up having bad luck, it's like, well, I guess I have to go back to Hawaii now. I guess I have no choice.
I'd rather just plan another trip than test out my luck. I'm just saying.
That's fair. That's fair. So are we going into?
Believer skeptic.
Yeah. All right. So my debunk is actually pretty short because like some of the stuff, you know, when we talk about lore and the mm-hmm. gods, you know, I think we've covered on that before. But I found something that I was like, this is interesting. So that police officer story, the one that I shared about the seeing the kids in the volume, that kind of got me because when you have a profession that is supposed to be credible, you know, and I will lean towards like, I know that
not now,
not now, but like my brother-in-law is a police officer and he's actually very honest and very attentive to detail and has the cop thing you think about. And whenever he says stuff, you know, he usually doesn't speak unless he really knows it's true.
Yeah.
So for me, I was like, well, that lends maybe some authenticity. And I found that particular story on several websites. Mm-hmm. But then I found the source article.
Uh-oh.
And it says, the Honolulu Police Department's annual ghost story video released on Friday, October 27th, featured the story of an officer's visit to the Chinese Manao Cemetery. So I was like, and it was the exact same story.
So according to that article, the Honolulu Police Department has been releasing videos of ghost stories from officers each year in time for Halloween.
Oh.
So they said last year's videos featured ghost stories about the Kahuku Station, mm-hmm. and an earlier ghost story was about the Alapai headquarters. So they release these fun ghost stories every year, I guess, you know, to make the officers seem approachable. But someone took that article, posted it as truth, and then that particular story spread like wildfire, and it suddenly became like truth.
That is crazy.
Yeah, and I was like, yay. So apparently that is just a set of ghost stories, and I can't wait to hear what
the
they come
one.
Up with next, because that's really cool. So maybe we can share those around Halloween if we can remember.
Yeah.
So, yep, so that's my debunk.
Awesome. So of my two stories today, I would say I have to believe in both of them. First, with the Night Marchers, Hawaii has been a land that has seen much war and death. In some ways, it reminds me of Gettysburg in that sense. You know, due to all the dark energy that still lies there, I have no doubt that there are warriors that hunt the islands still. Yeah, the ancestry runs deep and far into the past. So although maybe today more of a cautionary tale, I still think there may have been some grain of truth to it. You know?
Wow, you believe in both.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Regarding the goddess Pele, I believe this curse has a lot to do with island religion and spirituality. Island natives, like many indigenous communities, see the land and everything that comes from it as sacred. So to take something that belongs to the land is, in a sense, sacrilegious. And in doing so, karma sees its way back to the offender. According to one Hawaiian anthropologist, native Hawaiians believe that moving any of the island's natural features without performing the appropriate rituals with a Hawaiian priest is an act of disrespect.
Interesting.
He also states that islanders believe that the rocks have mana, which tourists, quote, just see something they like and take it with them. I can't say that every story that comes forth claiming to be cursed by Pele is true, but although I only spoke of a few, there are far too many incidents that happen to simply call it a coincidence. As I read, even if the curse is a local superstition, it is very real for the people who claim it has affected them. If you are still a skeptic, let me know how that goes next time you bring some earthly souvenirs from Hawaii. As for me, anything I bring from the islands will be coming from a gift shop. If you leave with anything, even if you do not believe in the curse in the least, don't take anything out of respect for the land and its people.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Wow, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Yay. Okay, cool episode. And also, I think we have a
listener story
audio file.
Yeah, we have a creep of the week. This week, we have a story from Christian from the Glitch Cube podcast.
Hi, Christian.
This is our first time listening to it, so this will be a surprise for all of us. So
yay!
Here we go.
Hey, you guys. First off, I just want to say I absolutely love your show. It's been really fun listening to it.
Yay.
Your stories are great. The research is fantastic.
Thank you.
And I just love the banter between you two.
Thanks.
Your chemistry is amazing. So please, please, please keep it up. You guys are killing it out there. I couldn't help but notice that on a couple of your episodes, you have what you called the Freak of the Week. I absolutely adore those segments, and I want to share mine. So for my story, it happened, or at least it started, whenever I was around 16 years old. I was going through a very serious bout of depression. I just couldn't really sleep at night. And when I did finally get to sleep, I would have these spells of sleep paralysis. It was just very like jarring and like a really just awkward situation for me. It was really hard to discern reality from this dreamscape that I was going through. I had about a 6-month period in which I wouldn't sleep in my own room because I just felt so uncomfortable, and just it felt like something was there, like a weight was being pushed on my chest constantly while I was sleeping in my room. So I actually slept in the living room for about 6 months. I remember this one dream, or at least it felt like a dream specifically, and it has to deal with me seeing some shadow figures out there.
Of course.
So one night when I was sleeping in the living room, like I usually do on the couch, I happened to be probably watching some random anime there. I heard like a tapping at our front door. And my eyes just shot awake or shot open, and I couldn't move. I was just trapped. It felt like my arms were tied to my chest. I could barely breathe. All I could do was stare up at the ceiling and just listen to the sounds around me, and they were just getting louder and louder. And eventually the front door begins to slowly creak open, and I hear a shuffling. Towards my
chicken
bedroom.
Skin.
I'm getting chicken skin.
I'm supposed to be asleep.
Oh, fuck that.
Actually, at that time, my dogs, my two dogs, Magnum and Chase had commandeered my bedroom, and they would actually sleep in my bed every single night. I hear the shuffling of the footsteps slowly getting closer and closer to my bedroom. And then all of a sudden, I hear Magnum just start barking and barking, growling super loud. And then those shufflings, they turn to footsteps, the sounds of someone running away. Wow. And then as soon as they get to like the threshold of the door, what it sounds like it's in that direct area, the door slams closed and I'm able to shoot up. So I sit up as fast as I can and I look out the window leading to the front of our house and I see a shadow figure running away as fast as it can into the night. Now, of course, I was terrified at that moment. Okay. So I run to my parents' bedroom. I open the door as fast as I can because I just don't know what else to do at that time. And at their bed, I see my mom and my stepdad sitting up in the bed, but their faces are gone.
Oh,
their faces are just pure shadow.
Oh, hell no.
And I'm just sitting there like lost for words. I don't know what to do at that point.
Yeah, no shit.
And I look at the foot of the bed and I see myself.
Oh,
I saw myself when I was about 5 years old, sitting at the foot of the bed, just looking back at me. And then
glitch in the matrix.
All of a sudden, the same shadows that are obscuring my parents' faces start to cover my child's face.
Oh.
And then all of a sudden, the shadows just continue to grow and they engulf the entire bed. And I just start falling into this inky blackness and just feeling lost. And just falling backwards and back, just keep falling for a while. And then all of a sudden, just like a flash, I wake up and I'm laying back on the couch, just in that same position as if I was just falling down.
Weird.
And it was very, very jarring. So that was my first real experience with shadow people,
or
a shadowy figure that just kind
of that would traumatize me for life.
Me out so much. And it really made me uncomfortable to, fall asleep. And
rightfully
to this day,
so.
I have some issues sleeping. I sleep like maybe 4 hours a day if I'm lucky.
Wow.
And I just never really feel comfortable. Now, if we fast forward about 5 years, I end up moving back to San Diego and I happen to be in my very first apartment on my own. I'm sleeping in my room. And once again, I wake up, or it feels like I'm awake. And that's the most jarring part about this, is that it feels like I wake up, but I'm still asleep, or at least I'm assuming that I'm still asleep. And I'm in my room, and I'm just laying in my bed. I can't move once again. I feel like my arms are locked close to my chest, like I'm tied up. Then I start hearing that same shuffling, but it's walking on the foot of my bed.
No!
And I can't move. I can't move my head to see what's going on.
No.
And then I feel some weight being pushed down at the foot of my bed. As soon as that weight settles, I'm able to sit up. So I sit up straight. And there I see the Top Hat Man.
Oh my God.
Shadowy figure.
Fuck Hat Man.
With a very tall, tall top hat. But he has no face.
Mm-mm.
But on the hat, I see a single eye.
What?
Just looking back at me. And then the figure starts to talk.
Oh.
With no mouth. It's not like he's talking to me. It's like he's talking in me. I can feel his words in my brain.
Fucking crazy.
And it just becomes this very jarring experience. And I ask him, what do you want? What do you want from me? Like, get out of here.
Yeah.
He says one single thing to me. He says, bring me the souls of the wicked.
Oh.
And I'll grant you my powers.
What the fuck?
What?
And with that, I was so lost for words. I just couldn't help but stare deeply into this single eye on the Top Hat Man's head.
Fuck.
Damn.
And then I wake up. It's just like that, in a flash. I'm sitting up in my bed again as if I was when I was sleeping, but there's no one there.
Yeah.
And what's even more jarring to me, like a little confusing at least, is the fact that my lights are on. Everything is on in my room, but I went to sleep for the night. I turned off everything.
Oh, shit. So it turned on. Oh, that's weird.
I mean, this is now about 10 years later, and I haven't run into him again. And
thankfully.
I don't know how, what to make out of this story. It's still very, vivid and strong in my mind, but Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to share this with you guys. This is my tale of the Top Hat Man, shadowy figures, and sleep paralysis. And I hope you guys liked it. So thank you very much. And thank you for the opportunity to share this story with you. All right, you guys have fun out there. Thank
Chicken
you.
Skin.
And keep up the good work.
Thank you, Christian.
Thank you so much. Wow.
That is
Chris was
probably
like, kept holding his arm up for goosebumps.
That's probably the scariest shadow person story I have ever heard.
That is crazy. Like the one with the, he sees his parents, like, because you're going there for comfort. And
or
the, suddenly...
it talks to you and tells you to bring you the souls of the wicked.
Yeah.
Fuck. Christian, if you haven't seen The Nightmare, watch it. It's a documentary about the shadow people, but still a lot of that reminds me of your story. But yours really is the scariest one I've ever heard.
I've never heard of like a conversation, like having the Hat Man talk and then that eye just like blinking at you like her.
Yeah. So
that's wild.
Thank you for that story. And if you would like to share your experiences, please do so. We would love that, especially for our upcoming season. You can do that by sending in either a voice memo or an email, however you choose, to bspodphx@gmail.com. You can find us on all your podcatchers at bspodphx or wherever you find podcasts. Don't forget to submit for our 100th episode by July 18th, we're just asking for messages of congratulations or your best memories about our last 4 years, all of that stuff as a preface to our fifth year and 100th episode.
Yay!
So that being said, we are taking a few weeks off for July. There will be other content from other creators, but that will be up. Additionally, we have Pride 48 coming up in July. We'll be live there July 23rd through 25th is the whole thing. We don't know our time slot yet, but we will be posting that on social media once we find out.
Yay, awesome. And then as always, it's Pride Month. So my books, The Gay Teen's Guide to Defeating a Siren, are an excellent gift for any people out there who would love to read. And wow.
What a crazy episode.
Yeah, that was that Creep of the Week was crazy, and the stories were crazy. That was that. Wow, for us throwing that shit together, that turned out pretty damn good.
I'm super excited to hear what you all think about it, so let us know.
Yeah, let us know. And so then with that, everyone, have a, what did we say? Oh, shoot, I was going to say, like, what do you say in Hawaiian? Aloha.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, or how do you say goodbye?
Aloha.
Oh, is it really?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Everyone, aloha.
Have some nice island dreams.
Yeah. And aloha.
And bye.
See you again next time.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.